Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, 1 year from when we started doing this thing, a year ago this week.
Yeah, we got an anniversary present with some content at the Torrey Pines tournament. So that was nice of everyone to give us something to talk about. But yeah, I can't believe we made it a year, Shane. It's been I saw our picture of the first day we recorded a podcast. Feels like just yesterday. So yeah, it's been a kind of a wild year, but it's been a fun ride so far.
And according to the fantasy golf rankings, Rob Bolton posted something, I guess, and I got tagged in a couple of times, said you were still 29. So congratulations on still being 29, same as you were during the recording of this podcast last year.
This is just like my long running joke with my aunt. Every birthday is her, 21st birthday. So I guess every birthday is my 29th. I appreciate everyone playing along. No one ruined it for me. I'll never be 30. Like, it's not a bad gig.
Don't get to it. Just before recording, just to give people a good look into how professional our podcast is, I had to wait for the trash truck to leave outside my window, and then you had to go take your trash out before we started recording. So listen, professional golfers still do exactly what you guys do, instead of run out and take the trash.
It's good synergy. You reminded me I had to do it. I don't like my trash. My trash people come at like 7 a.m.
Yeah, same here. It's brutal.
It's brutal. And I typically forget every single time, every single week. And then I don't have like a paved area to bring mine out. So I have to drag them on the rocks, which isn't probably the best for my neighbors. But listen, that's just what I got to do some morning. So I apologize if any of my neighbors listen to this.
Max, we had a snowstorm in the Northeast the last 24 hours. I at one point told Cindy, I don't know if it'll ever stop snowing. You know when it's like the middle of summer in Arizona and you go, I don't remember what it's like for it not to be 120?
Yeah.
In my head, I go, I'm sure at some point it will stop snowing, but I don't believe that that's actually going to happen.
Shane, you, this is going to be all-time segue. You had a snowstorm. We on PJ Tour had a shit storm.
There you go.
Torrey Pines with some rule stuff. I was curious. I think for, typically in these types of situations and when it's golf content, the players are in kind of the middle of it. But I would say this time you, the golf media, was really more crazy than anything we really went through. I didn't see it till way later. I wasn't obviously talking about it. So I'm curious. Yours and Damon's and everybody's behind the scenes conversations had to be pretty intense and crazy about, how you were going to go about talking about it and how you insert your opinion and then the facts and all these things. So I was curious how your Saturday, Sunday went, if it was fun, if it was crazy, if it was all the above. I was curious what all that entailed, because from our side, it looked, pretty, crazy with what all the media had to handle.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely wild. I had, before our Sunday show, I probably had a 8 to 10 minute conversation with Brandel. And by the way, Brandel Chambly, he has these shows he does are in the middle of the afternoon. He gets in there like 8 a.m. to start doing research. It's unbelievable. The guy is there before some of us get in for the show before his show. That's how clued in and locked in he gets in there. But we're all discussing stuff, kind of different ways we might want to go down it, different roads. Does this make sense? Does this not? And then it was about, for Damon and I, it was kind of about molding what we believe about it in the same conversation as what we would have on our show, because our show is different than other shows on the network, other talking points, outside of what we do at Golf Channel, obviously podcasts, everything like that. And so it was about approaching. What I like about what Damon and I did was one of the ways we went down it was, if him and I were playing golf and the Patrick Reed situation had happened, what would have been our takeaway? And that's the thing, Max, and I said this on the show, 99.99999% of golfers that play golf don't have rules officials around. So typically if that situation would have happened, it would have been on us to govern it, right? It would have been on us to see what would have happened. And, if I'm playing a guy for money and I see him over there and he's doing what Patrick Reed had done, not to say at the end of the day, right, that the rules are the rules, but I just think, this was the hot topic word, optics, right? I think if you looked over there and some guy was doing that, it wouldn't have gone over well if you were playing the guy for $50.
Yeah. So I have the kind of the exact opposite take. What he did, his procedure is spot on what we do. Minus, I've never really seen the ball, you know, left on the ground. But even that, like, I don't, it's not crazy, but typically every time I've gone about, you know, doing a plug, checking if a ball's plugged. I mean, sometimes I'll have somebody with me, but for the most part, you just yell over like he did. Hey, I'm going to check my ball's plugged. You typically take it out with two fingers. I mean, it was a little, he did things a little different, but from like that to the eye, he didn't do anything procedurally that was like insane or way out of the box. I felt like that's where people's bias was taking over. Because people don't like him. Like a lot of people who watch golf don't like him. That's just like, you know, I see that on the internet. It's not an opinion. I just see a lot of people have, you know, he's had a lot of these rules infraction type things. So, but yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. Just about the procedure is that's about what you do. There were some parts of it that were kind of odd. But I mean that I'm sure you could find that with a lot of things.
Max, walk us through, like, if you're doing that, right? If you're playing on a Thursday and there's not cameras and everything like that, basically kind of letter of the law is you can test it, you can check it, you can pull it out, and that's kind of how it goes down.
Yeah, I would say that, like, you know, like in Mexico, I think it probably happened a bunch. It was super wet and you'll walk over, you'll see the ball, you're gonna be like, hey, some, I mean, like, listen, like in Mexico when it was as wet as it was, like, it's pretty obvious when it's plugged. I mean, you could see, and the rough's not very long, and you could very clearly tell the ball's in the ground. But even then, you'll say, hey, I'm going to see if my ball's plugged. You yell to the group. You put a tee down where your ball is, which is always kind of silly because there's a hole there, whatever. But you put a tee down. And like, what I'll do is I will pick the ball up with two fingers and, like, remove it from the ground. Usually you can feel a bit of, like, if it was stuck in the ground. So right. Part of, I guess, maybe where people aren't liking the procedure is, like, you do feel how it comes in and out of the ground matters. Like, you could tell if it was like lodged in there. So, and then you kind of look at it and then I look down. I've never touched around to see if it had broken the grass. So I don't know if that is like a kosher thing to do, but I've never done that one. But I mean, it might be, I mean, from what the rules official said, he didn't really break any rules. But yeah, so I'll do that. I'll pick it up. It typically has a bunch of mud on it if it's plugged, but then, you know, you can look at the lie obviously and see if it looks like there's a real hole in the ground. So then, if I think that it is, I say, hey, ball was plugged. I mean, it's an interesting thing. These people kind of getting frustrated with Patrick for the procedure. And I get it because it's, you know, he's had these things happen before, but like, we are also kind of bitched at to do more rulings by ourselves without rules officials.
Absolutely.
So I don't know where, I mean, the plug lie, and I thought up until yesterday or 2 days ago, is pretty freaking simple. Like, it's pretty obvious. So I've never had to be like, hey, can you come see if this is plugged? I may have had that happen one time, but I honestly may not have ever. So like, it's usually, I thought that's pretty clear. I guess Torrey has long, long rough. So like you can't probably see as well, whatever. So, but like that whole thing, like then you just say, hey guys, like it was plugged, and then they wave back. You would be the same thing as, hey, this cart path is in my way, or hey, I'm standing on a sprinkler head. I'll come over if somebody says, hey, can you look at this? Like, this feels like it's close. I just want to make sure. And like, I've done that. People have done that, you know, ask me. It's very simple, but yeah. So it's like he did, I thought, what he was supposed to do. There were some weird things. You know, I'm sure if you put the ball back in the hole, it would have helped a little bit. Cause like, that's odd. Like I said, whatever, but I mean, we can construe all these things, how we want to fit the narrative of what we wanted to happen. But like the whole point comes down to, was the ball plugged? And like, that's the only thing, I guess, that, that's where the conversation should be. I'm not really going to speak on the matter, like too much, but my point is that, the procedure was fine. The anger around the procedure is a Patrick Reed thing, which is unfair.
It's
wrong. Like, so his procedure was right. It's unfair to that. My point is the bias towards him and how much people dislike him is why people think that his procedure was wrong. His procedure is right. You now have to determine if you think that ball plugged, which everyone could have their opinion. It popped a foot in the air and then hit the ground. So there's like, you can make your opinion. Like, but my point is that to take the conversation away from him picking the ball up. That happens right all the time. He doesn't need a rules official. I'm sure it happened. It did happen again. Rory did it. And like, it has to be in your pitch mark. That's the other thing. Now I'll grant him that they said that it didn't bounce. I don't know when we started using like volunteers as the letter of the law. And here I have two funny stories. Well, one was not that funny, but I have another one that I might have brought it up a year ago on our podcast. But I had a volunteer at the waste management last year on number 13 is a par five. And I healed this drive pretty bad. And I'm playing with Keith and Bryce Garnett. And, you know, Keith and I talked about it last week when we played together. I said it's almost 1 year anniversary of like the weirdest thing ever with the volunteer. And my ball goes into the water and it sliced a bunch because I healed it. So I think I know where it crossed. I'm pretty generally sure there's like, it's not even to me, until this all came up, or until this with, you know, what I'm about to say came up, I never really thought like it was in question. So I found there's like an inlet, like with the lake, and you drop on the side of the hill, and I'm going to have to lay up with like a five iron. And so I'm like going about, and I'm yelling at Keith and Bryce, you guys cool with it crossing here? It's like, yeah. And then a rules official who is quite old inserts himself in the conversation, says it didn't cross there. It crossed way back. Like, and he's talking like 55, 60 more yards back. And I'm like, no, like there's no way like it crossed right here. And he goes, no, my wife and I saw it. The ball splashed. It didn't splash anywhere near there. It splashed like 40 yards short. So I look at my book to see where that is. And where he's telling me the ball landed in the water is 230 yards. I've never hit my driver 230 yards in my life. The ball would have to have exploded for my ball to go 230. So I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. You know, we're being nice. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. But like that's not possible. I don't hit my driver 230. And this is at 270, 260. No, I'm sorry. This is at 260, which I thought was being fairly like conservative. I healed it. I didn't hit it well. It was kind of cold. Like, I'm sure it didn't buy 300 yards, but we're in Arizona. I mean, my driver here, you know, that would be a 60 yard reduction on my
right,
or 50 yard reduction on my driver carry. And now he's asking me for an 80 yards. Like, so you know, I did what you can do with it's a volunteer. The guy's not a rules official. I said, sir, like, and now Joe's getting mad because this guy is essentially like the way he's telling me what's happening is he's basically saying I'm cheating.
Right.
And it was very not okay, in my opinion. And so I was like, you know, sir, we got it. Like, it's all good. Like, this is not your job. Like, you can help. But if we decide our whole group, I mean, and then now I have to ask Bryce and Keith 100 times, like, am I doing something wrong here? Like, you guys saw what I saw, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah. So, and I showed him the book. I'm like, this is where he's saying I crossed. That means the ball flew like in total 230 yards. Cause if it flew 260, it crosses here. Like, that was just how it had to be. So Joe finally like kind of snaps on the guy and is like, dude, like we have this. Like, and again, it's a volunteer. He was 70, 80 years old. And he's telling me that him and his wife saw the golf ball. He's out of line. Now we were a little out of line because we were being kind of rude. But the reason was, and Keith told me this this week, was like the guy looked at somebody in the score. He looked at our score and said, you know, basically like this guy's cheating. Like he's calling me a cheater. And I guarantee you that he is wrong. Like I've played golf much more with myself than he's ever seen me hit a driver. None of it was logical. And so that's where the volunteer thing is odd. But again, you take the info that has been presented to you throughout your group, throughout the volunteers, whoever you can, the camera. But like it's odd because, you know, that's not like the end all be all. But I get that part. The point is the entire conversation is that ball plugged? Because no matter what happened in all of this, you only get a drop if the ball's plugged. And that's where if you're going to go with, but he did nothing wrong because the rules official deemed it to be plugged. So like,
right,
there's really not a lot, but it's just, you know, it's, he's had this before. So I understand where all of it comes from, but I just wanted to like explain, like, that's how I would have done the ruling thing without holding it weird and putting it on the ground. Like if you're going to be that mad at those two things, I don't think that's insane. What, like doing that, but like the rest of what he did, you don't need a freaking rules official around. You don't, you can pick up the golf ball. Like all those things are okay. There was a couple, like I said, weird things in there, but like the rest of it, I'm like tired of reading that. Like, but it's crazy. You did that. Like with the cameras right there, you picked up the ball. It's like, yeah, we all like, that's how everyone mostly would have done it. But like the rest of it is definitely, there's some gray area maybe.
So, you know, this, I was going to go to this in a little bit just, but since you're bringing this up, so I kind of, and this is going to kind of, what can we learn or what can we do from this? Right. Because I mean, the reason that people are upset is because of Patrick Reed's history, and Patrick Reed's history is because of Patrick Reed. I mean, you know, that's not, I mean, that's why this comes up. It's not, you know, it's not anybody getting upset about a situation. It's, you know, the past is always going to be hovering around Patrick Reed. Right. I mean, that's just part of what happens when you do certain things throughout your career. So I'm with you that we all, and I'm talking about media, want golfers to play faster. And I've always said this. I find it, I get so annoyed when I see a professional golfer asking for ruling on a cart path or a simple ruling that we all know, right? And so this is, as you said it, this is a fairly simple ruling. The ball's plugged, it's embedded, you know, you get relief. That's how that works, right? But I think when you, you know, again, when you go grab the ball, pull it out, then call for a rules official, that to me seemed like the steps were a little out of order for how it went down. And again, I know you're saying that's not really how you guys typically do it. But if you're it, like the rules official to me didn't have information that would have been extremely helpful. And so my question to you is this, Max, is it wild to think that golf could be helped out by kind of a Secaucus type of place where you've got three or four people's and their entire job is to watch and monitor the telecast. And when a rule situation comes up, they have all the video, all the angles, everything that they can consume instantaneously, get that information in. And then we can have a way where that information is relayed immediately to rules officials. So when that guy shows up with Patrick Reed, he knows everything that's already gone down. He knows that the ball bounced. He knows that Reed picked the ball up. Like he at least is informed, because I feel like Fable showed up and there was no information. He had to get all of his information from Patrick Reed, right? So if it, and let's take Patrick Reed out of it. Let's say it's you. Let's say it's Max Homa. If the video, if the camera's on you and all of this was you and not Patrick Reed, and the guy comes up, you have to kind of explain to the official what all went down. And I feel like that is where it would be very easy to, and again, not to say he did this or didn't do this, but it'd be very easy to give information that you want to give or leave off information that you want to leave off. And to me, it's, we have all these camera angles. We have all these looks in, as big as golf is. And to you guys, Max, like, I mean, one finish is a ton of money. You know, if you jump up one spot, one shot is a ton of money and FedEx Cup points and all the stuff that matters throughout the season. So for you guys, having it absolutely accurate in terms of, and I love this phrase, protecting the field, but just in terms of making sure everything's accurate, is that something that you would be in favor of? Would you think it's too much? What are your thoughts on something like that?
I would say if they had that technology, then maybe they should just show more golf shots on TV first, because that's an entertaining thing. You know, this is, I mean, I guess in a perfect world, you'd have all of that. Here's the thing. There's no camera angle that would have proved that that ball plugged. Or
right.
Plugged.
For sure.
I guess it would have proved that it wasn't in his pitch mark, which of course he can't tell. I mean, it's uphill shot.
I know. Like, I mean,
that one's tough, but I guess, yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, yes. The issue is this game. I was raised on this game to be a gentleman's game, or you know, and I don't like that term. Like I don't know how to the proper form of woman, but like a gentle person's game. Like some people with integrity. Like that's what I was growing up on. You call penalties on yourself. You know, you don't try to use the rules to your advantage whenever necessary or whenever opportune. So it comes down to really. That ball, in my opinion, that ball could have been back in the hole, because you're saying that the rules official didn't have a lot of information. He would have had the proper information if Patrick picked up the ball, looked at it, couldn't tell, didn't touch the ground, put the ball back in the hole. And then we could have, then the rules official has as much information as anybody, minus the fact that it bounced. So that could have helped for sure. But it's almost unfair to Patrick then. If I guess unfair is the wrong word, but it's almost weird to Patrick then if you say, oh, it did bounce because we saw it on camera, when it's like, yeah, well, maybe my ball plugged. I mean, I didn't have any, but maybe my ball plugged, but it actually bounced, but I didn't see it and no one had
right.
a camera.
Camera there.
So it's a tough. So I don't mind all that as much. It just is, if the rules official knew that it was plugged or not. And again, there's no camera angle. So the whole thing comes down to, if you think, yes, at any point, if I picked up, you know, my ball, and then I said, hey, I want a rule switch to come back. And when I put my ball down, I pushed into the turf to make sure that thing was plugged. That would be a way to do it. But like, that's the stuff, you couldn't get that on camera.
Right.
So I don't know if camera fixes a lot. There's a point where we have to be like, hey, I would like rules to be written with less intent. So like when you say, I didn't intend to anchor it, like, okay, but you did anchor it. Cause I don't intend to hit my ball in the fairway on accident. Like, and move it 1 inch like Matt Wolf did in Palm Springs. Yet that's a penalty. Like, we're not using much logic in the game of golf with the rules. Like DJ Oakmont, when he had that putt that the ball moved, the ball literally moved further from the hole. You're telling me that that's an advantage that he deserves a penalty for? Like, if anything, he just penalized himself an inch. So like, we don't use a lot of logic in this case scenario. Like, or in the case scenario, sorry, with Matt Wolf, he gets a penalty for a thing that did not benefit him at all. And then you have this one where it does benefit, and we're not using a lot of logic in this. So it's a tough situation. The rules official probably could have done a different or better job. But again, I don't know, because I think what this whole thing comes down to is, if you believe that Patrick Reed or anyone who has been in a situation, but like this situation was clearly on TV, if you believe, knowing that that ball bounced, you have to decide if you think that he essentially built a lie in the grass, or if it plugged after it bounced. Because I'm off the procedure. I'm off him needing to know that that ball was not in his own pitch mark. I think that's tough. That'd be tough to say. I think it's just got too. It's we got a lot going on. I know that that's proven now that it was, but like he in the moment, it would be hard to know. I guess he could have called for a camp, but like, who thinks that? Like, that's not
right.
That's a far-fetched idea. So it's just deciding if that ball was actually embedded. And if the rules official decided that it was, that he felt that there was a hole there, then you have to decide if you think that ball could have plugged without anything like getting pushed on. That's where the argument is going. I'm not giving my opinion. That's where the focus should be. Cause that, I don't know. That's the only thing I see that's improvable and or unprovable and like odd, I guess. Like, because everything, I mean, we're picking at it. But yeah, I mean, perfect world cameras all the time. But I mean, we're going to slow down even more.
I'm just trying to think of any solution. Like, is there always going to be a judgment call?
Because there's always going to be like, I've had swings where like, if in my follow through on my divot, I might hit the path with my fall through. And like, that's when you call rules, which are like, do you think this? Like, I'm not trying to be shady. And you'll get another guy in your group. And it's like, yeah. And you're like, try really hard to come up with the most honest, like best decision on that matter. But a lot of these things really just come down to you. If you look back at the Sung Kang, Joel Damon story, how that ended was, you know, Sung hit the ball. Sung, do you think that it covered? Yes. Joel, your opinion no longer matters because it is on the player. So it's like, you just got to be an upstanding person at some point. And again, I don't know. I don't think we can prove because we didn't have cameras on the Sung Kang Joel one. But the point is it comes down to the player. In this case, it comes down to Patrick. So I understand that he has a bad track record. I get it. You know, but are we going to treat this situation differently because it's Patrick? Or are we going to just treat it like it's the rules of golf? This is the fun part. That's why, like I said, in my world, whatever he did, I have to take him at his word for it.
Gotcha.
I can have my opinions and my thoughts on it, but it does me no good to sit here and bitch about it because I can't, who's going to prove it? But this is why I was so curious about your guys' world, because you guys can present an opinion. And that's my whole point from this podcast is just to, I think, put the eyeballs on where the opinion should be, because the rest is cool. But I mean, that's why your opinion means a lot more than mine does.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And I mean, you know, to me, again, it's I think so many other like outside factors play into the way we look at this. Right. I mean, again, if this is you, if this is Joel Damon, if this is Rory McIlroy, you know, which had a similar situation, like you said, and the video came out, you know, a day later. I mean, if the players that don't have a history of running into rules issues and bringing these things on themselves, then I'm going to believe you. Again, I think that, you know, you brought it up. You said, you know, this is a gentle person's game. Like, this is the whole point of golf and the way I play golf. I mean, I don't play golf with people out there helping me with my rules. It's on me to live by the letter of the law. And if I don't do that, then that's a look inside myself and inside my character. And to me, it's, you have to, being a professional golfer playing against other professional golfers, you have to, in a sense, believe them, right? No matter what they've done in the past and no matter what they're going to do in the future, you have to believe them and you have to believe what the rules say, right? Because if you don't, I can imagine for you being in contention, having a great week, going out there and trying to make a run on Sunday and shoot some silly number and maybe get up there close to the lead, you can't sit there thinking, oh my goodness, what happened yesterday, right? That can't be something that's bouncing around in your brain because that's not something a competitor can live with if he wants to go out there and be his best, right?
Yeah, I can't be playing Sunday thinking I should be one or two better.
Closer,
or,
right?
This is not, because what does that get me? But I mean, yeah, I could be more proactive if I'm, for instance, I played with somebody three times in 1 year once. This was years ago. And first two rounds we played together, there was something shady I thought that this guy did. But I never had a good angle on it and I never had a great beat on it. And I'm not going to argue something that I can't prove. Like, I can't prove that Patrick pushed into the turf and made that ball plug. I can't prove that. So why am I going to argue it? I have no legs to stand on. I have no evidence, no nothing. So it's okay. I can give everybody their word. I give everyone at golf the option to be honest. Like, you just, if you tell me it is like, well, I'll move along. However, like in this situation, I played two rounds with this guy and did two shady things. And I'm like, okay, so I had nowhere to argue. So the third time I play with him, I'm a little bit more keen to, which sucks for me because I'm playing a tournament as well. But now I'm playing with this certain person and I'm like, I have to be a little more keen when when things come up. So I guess that's what you do. So the third time this dude actually did something shady and I was fortunately standing close enough where I could tell, you know, kind of where the ball crossed. And I mean, finally I was like, okay, I saw that. I'm gonna stick my chest out and make sure I protect the field. But it's hard to protect the field without hurting somebody if you don't actually know what happened, if you're just assuming. This time I made sure that I was going to watch these things. So if like, that would be the policing of this is if
and
you
that,
think
but that
somebody,
shouldn't be, you know, that's the problem.
No,
that's
your
job,
it is
right?
Part
you know?
Of the job because there okay. is a police that they're protecting the field. We're told, you know, to hold each other accountable, or at least that's what people on Twitter like kind of bring up, that we should hold each other accountable. We try, but like, I want this to be known. I'm not saying that Patrick Reed cheated because I'm scared of being fined. I'm not saying it because I cannot prove that happened. So I'm not tiptoeing around. I have my opinion. And it's different than what I feel like a lot of people's has been on the internet. But that's not my place. And I don't think that that's a fair thing to say. Now, is it weird that it's happened a few times? Sure. But like, he's been exonerated of them. He should be allowed to just be his own person. And this should be taken at, face value, this ruling. It should not be based off of what has happened prior, because people are allowed to improve. You look at a situation like a Justin Thomas thing that's happened. That's been obviously something that I'm sure he's not super proud of. Well, I know Justin's character. If I were just to not like him now, it would be kind of BS because he's allowed to improve. So is someone who does something, you know, gets a speeding ticket. Is that person just a bad? No, you could get to be a better driver, whatever, a safer driver. So like this could be a completely innocent situation. I don't know. It's a wild thing, like how it can get twisted. But at the same time, I see both sides of it because he has had this happen. But I don't know. Like, it's a weird situation. I never really thought a plug lie would be this kind of crazy.
What's so crazy is the okay. So without the camera angle of the ball bouncing, I don't think this is anything, right?
Not
so
at all.
It's the one angle showing the ball bounce, and that to me is what blows this whole thing up. And again, I'm not here to defend. I'm not here to accuse. We're just here having a conversation. You know, I mean, I've played plenty of golf in my life, and you hit a shot over in the rough. I mean, you sometimes don't see how the ball reacts. You know, it's very easy not to see it. Max, I think something I've learned from you and getting a chance to play with you and getting a chance to play with other pros, and I think this is very important for people to understand about professional golfers more than anybody else in the world, is professional golfers don't really care what you're doing when you're playing golf. Like, they're playing their game. Like, they're in their world. I mean, they're worried about their golf shot. It's to your point about having to worry about somebody that you say stretches the rules and you having to keep an eye on them. Even if that's 1% of your effort, that's taking 1% away from your game and what you're doing typically and how you are comfortable when you're playing in a tournament setting. And so I would bet you, my guess is that of the four other people involved in that group, the two players and the two caddies, maybe one's looking, maybe two, but I guarantee you it's not all four. I mean, you guys are preparing for your next shot and you're walking up. So that's the only thing I'll say in terms of a defense is it's hard to see a shot 180 yards down to the left, especially if not everybody's paying a lot of attention to it. And there are no fans there as well.
Yeah. The seeing of the bounce thing is tough anytime, especially on that hole, but yeah. So just all the rest is conjecture, and I'm not defending or incriminating somebody. It's just, the arguments of all the other stuff is kind of just, it's funny.
It was hot, man. The Twitter was hot. Golf world was
practice
hot.
Screen. How was it as a player?
Yeah. How was the buzz? Like, was it, were you, I mean, I know you wrote on Twitter, you said, I can't say anything here, but my group chats have been blowing up. Like, how is it as a player in the field, in the tournament, and also on the tour? Like, how is that next 20 hours for you?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting because, like, it doesn't happen often, which is good, or at least we don't hear about it happening often, which is good. It means that most people, like, are not doing anything that would bring up that kind of stuff. So when it does happen, everybody's kind of, like you said, they're buzzing. They're talking about it. They're thinking about it. I mean, on, you know, Sunday, somebody finally was like, all right, so at what point do we talk about what happened yesterday? You know, because, like, it's funny, you don't know what to say. It's not going to help our cause at all. So, but it just doesn't happen often. So it is weird. Internet's fun, and it's funny because I see things that, like I said, obviously a couple of times, that, like, aren't really true about how things go on, but I understand people's side of it. But then you also have, like, then people bitching at Xander about being like, you know, you should have just won. Like, he still beat you by five. It's like, that's not, like, his point. So people kind of, like, missing the angles here and there. So then that's kind of fun. But for us, it's just, you know, you hear so much about how we get any ruling we want. Shout out to you, Tron. I listened to No Laying Up before I got on this podcast. But I hear it from other people that we get any rule we want. We can lead people, lead the rules officials. Like, I don't think that is true at all. Like, I've had plenty of rulings that I hate, or I've called in a second opinion and I still didn't get it. So we don't get really what we want. There are times when I'm sure you can kind of show your opinion of what you'd rather have, but that's not, they are very, I mean, by the book. So when this happens to somebody a couple times, it's interesting because we all talk about it almost in a, I don't know, in like a curious manner, in the sense that I've never had that happen to me one time, let alone three or four. So it's just, but also there's people like Dustin who's also had something, not really rules in, not like to this extent of rules infractions, but he's had these rules infractions surround him. So it could be just like coincidence, but like, it's just weird for us. This stuff doesn't happen. So it's kind of fun. It's like gossip. It's like, we're back in high school where you could be like, did you hear about this? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And it's kind of fun because, again, at the end of the day, rules official gave his blessing. That's law in our world. So it's not like he's ever going to get a penalty after the fact. There was like a bit of a, I did have a discussion with somebody, and I would say that, like, here's kind of where the rules of golf suck, in my opinion, with this new camera stuff. But, like, you know, Matt Wolf got a penalty the week before at Palm Springs. Like I mentioned, he did his little waggle, and as he took the club back, the ball tipped and rolled. And after the round, after the entire round, like in the next morning, they deemed that actually did move. He's got a penalty. It's pretty crazy. They looked at that thing 1,000 times. I think at one point they determined that it wasn't a penalty, whatever. So they determined a penalty. Again, logic's out the window. He clearly didn't want the ball to move while he was swinging. No one in the world wants that. So we have, you know, TV help you there, help, quote unquote. I don't believe that help, but it showed the ball move. And now we have this one that shows the ball bounce. And unfortunately, the ball didn't plug in its own pitch mark. So how is Matt's different than Patrick's? Like, that's where it just starts to feel a bit unfair in the rules. Like, Patrick's ball very clearly did not bounce into its own pitch mark. Now, Matt didn't even know the ball moved.
Right.
Like, and I guess he kind of could have caused it to move technically. But again, that's just where the rules are stupid, because he didn't want the ball to move. So like none of it makes sense. So
it works here, but it doesn't work for this.
Yeah, it's
let's pick the time where it should help. Right. And I actually think that's I love that naked eye thing that we at least do after the Court of All Women's Open, you know, where it's like one grain of sand touches the club and it's like grounding. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just so, I mean, we have these amazing cameras. Like, of course we see certain stuff that we didn't used to see. And I mean, you go back and watch some replays of a tournament from 1984, like the ball could have been plugged. You wouldn't even have known, you know, and it was like HD, right? It's very different, but.
So I have a great plug lie story really quick, if you don't mind. I almost tweeted it, but I feel like it's better for this.
That's topical. I think, I feel like that's a topical story.
Well, I was thinking of a funny tweet that would be along the lines of this without addressing the topic. And this is what I remembered. So I shockingly have only a handful of hungover rounds on the PGA Tour.
Okay.
or the Korn Ferry Tour. I haven't really sent it that much before a round, but I'm at the Tour Championship in Jacksonville. I can't remember what year this was, but I had locked up my card and at the Tour Championship, and I did play, I kind of made the cut on the number. Played well Saturday, and Saturday night, you know, some of the boys were going out and I was going out. So I went out and have fun, and, you know, show up to the course in the morning. I don't feel great. I'm definitely not in a terrible position, but I'm not in a good spot.
Like, give me a 1 to 10. Like, where are we at 1 to 10?
I mean, I was probably for golf, I would say I was a 7 hungover. Like, okay, in real life, okay, I'd be a 3, but you know, like my shit ain't moving. You know, I needed some extra time to chip. It's Bermuda. Like, none of it set up good. So on the very first hole, I hit a good drive, par 5, hit a good second shot, and it lands greenside, and it had been raining all week because it's Florida. And I get up to the ball, and the ball is super plugged. Like, I wouldn't even need to check. Like, it was very obviously plugged. And I don't, like, have you ever heard of hungover brain? You know, when it's like you're just like, it doesn't work. So like, I had hungover brain. Like, it just wasn't firing. Like, my brain was firing, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you get relief from a plug lie through the green, but through the green only means on the short grass, which is not true. Through the green means anywhere, right, throughout the entire golf course that's inbounds. And I like, none of it's working. So I'm on the face of this grass bunker basically, and my ball is halfway into the ground. I've got a 30 foot pitch, and I just chunk it out. Like, I slam the ground like you would a plug bunker shot. Pops out, muds all over it, lands and rolls out to a foot, and I make birdie. And after the hole, Steve Marino, I have not put this together yet. My brain is still not on. It's in snooze or whatever. And Steve Marino comes over. He goes, hey, was your ball plugged? Did you just play it out of the plug lie? And I said, yeah. And he's because it was a bet. You thought it would be better to let it run? And I'm like, no. And as he said, I'm like, oh my God, I totally could have got a free drop. It was awful.
It didn't process. It needed a
never, couple of holes. Honestly, I went through the whole thing and none of it, I
do you have a caddy? Was somebody caddying for you?
Was there. He drank with me.
Okay.
Gotcha. I don't think that all helped.
You guys might have been 2 fives, maybe 10. I got you.
It was so funny, but it was don't be hungover and play a competitive round of golf, because you might make some dumb mistakes. But that was an all-timer. I was so embarrassed, but then I also was like, I just hit it to a foot.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Hey, we're 40 minutes in. We haven't even talked about your week. T18 71-68, 72-72, number one shot of the week on PJTour.com. I had to ask you, I texted you this, and I wanted to ask you on the podcast. So can you just walk us through 18? Can you walk us through? Because you birdied 17, right?
Yeah, so I
this is on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, hit it okay on Saturday. I hit my irons amazing all week, but never really got putts to drop and didn't drive it well in the back nine any day at Torrey. And so I play a round on Saturday that I'm not too mad about with the shots I'm hitting the ball. It just wasn't really going my way. It's a hard ass golf course, so like even three over wasn't horrible. I'm trying to get in the house around two over. My goal was really to birdie 17-18, but I've been cool with birdieing one of the two, getting in at two over, and it gives me a chance to win. If I shoot 8-9 under, not obviously that was proven, but I would put pressure on Patrick and like, I would have been in the tournament. I just didn't want to fall. It's easy to think it's Horry. Hey, I'm going to finish with a couple of birdies. You finish with a couple of bogeys. You
right. Can I interject and ask you a question there? So, you know, how you said you're like, I'm going to birdie one of the last two. I obviously have gone through this a million times in my life. Is that something that you kind of verbally say? Like, do you say that to Joe? Like, hey, let's birdie one of the last two. Or like, are you guys saying let's birdie the last two? Or is it more just you kind of internally having a checklist? Like, let's get in it. Let's play the last couple one under and that'll be good. Like how do you go about that?
Yeah, I typically say it internally. If I do say it to Joe, a lot of the times he'll say, like, if we have two holes left, he goes, let's get two looks at birdie.
Okay.
So gotcha. Not to put too much pressure on other stuff. Now there's a balance of saying, hey, let's birdie one of the last two or two of the last two without getting, and then getting back into like the now thing, like the present. But it's like boosting yourself up to be more confident and then being like, okay, well, how do I birdie the next two? I hit a good tee shot right here on 17. So it's more internal than external.
Okay.
But yeah, so I do a good job. I mean, I hit a, you know, make par on 16. So I turned to 17, 18, hit a really two really good shots on 17, finally make a putt. And I'm like, nice. Like 18 might just be gravy now if I could make bird. And I missed the fairway, which is probably a good thing because it's playing long into the wind. I don't understand golf setup, but like that tee should be up. I mean, they did it on 18, but like that tee should just always be up if it's into the wind because the second shot is so fun. I mean, it's over water. It's
you don't exciting. Want to lay that up, right?
You can't. I couldn't get Tony Finau said he couldn't get there on Saturday. I mean, he hits his, you know, far enough for anybody. So it's just crazy. So I missed the fairway. No, I hit the fairway layup with a 5-iron, 6-iron, something like that, up the right. And as we're walking up to the ball, we're probably like 70 yards away. I told Joe, I said, I'm making this wedge shot.
No way.
And, you know, yeah. I told him. So that's why when people thought that I didn't celebrate, it's because I was yelling at him, like that I called it. So I was just looked at him when it went in and and he was laughing or whatever, but it was obviously a semi miracle finish. Cause Joe's first thing is goes, we shot even because it never felt like we were even par, but it was also, I felt due because I'd hit a lot of good shots. Now, obviously when the ball just actually goes in the hole from, 80 yards or whatever, it's definitely some luck, but that was a fun wedge shot. I saw it, it worked out. It painted the picture, I guess, but you know, throughout the week I did everything, kind of the same throughout the week. I would have a couple sections where I drove it not well, and then some where I did, and my iron game was so good all week that I always had a lot of looks. Friday, if I would have just put halfway decent or made anything, I would have shot in super low number. So I think my longest putt I even made all day was probably like 10, 12 feet. My front nine on Sunday was epic, minus one hole. I've never hit the ball that well. I hit every fairway and every green and both par fives and two, minus the seventh hole. And I hit a driver off the deck from 290 on nine to like 25 feet. So I was like locked in. So I was feeling really good about my swing. And then that back nine is just hard and it got me a little bit. But I was proud of the week. I mean, I played well. It was, as Joe said, he said, it seems like we're trending to playing not great and getting 18th. So hopefully being in contention a bit more and getting used to it. Shane, I had a question for you. I saw this all over the internet on Tuesday or on Thursday and then Friday. And then unfortunately Saturday, people don't like lift clean in place. Just curious your opinion on that. I just go with what we're allowed to do. I mean, it was weird playing Thursday with no rain.
Yeah.
But like, I knew it was supposed to be awful Friday. But your opinion, like, why do you think people dislike it? Do you dislike it? Does it not affect you? How do you view LCP?
I think I get more confused sometimes at the decisions of why it's a lift clean and place day. And, you know, I think that the reason people were up in arms was that because of the weather on Friday, they were preparing for Lift Clean and Place on Thursday, right? I think that was the weird thing. And I know it was two different golf courses and they wanted to give everybody, you know, an advantage here or there. To me, it's you're playing golf on Thursday. If you play north or south, whatever, like take advantage of it. And if you're playing on Friday and you're playing north or south and it's windy and rainy and nasty, I mean, that's kind of how you have to deal with it. I don't know what conditions were like. Obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know how soppy. Was it wet? Was it muddy? Was it gross kind of before the week at all?
We had a really weird day Monday, but it didn't really rain. But no, the course was firm mostly.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of get confused
Friday
by
it. Wet, but not in the places you – there were a couple areas. I think they were planning – so from my understanding, Lift Clean and Place played to speed up play so that when your ball is in an area where it's a little wet in the fairway
you don't have to get a rules
or in the rough, you don't have to get a rules official to call in like a casual water and then find where you go next. You can just go place it. A club length, hopefully, if that's enough. And it's just supposed to speed things up from what I understand. I don't really think it's about mud balls. So again, like I think now that's just from what I've
heard. So like standing water, it's basically like speeding up standing water relief.
There was a lot of it. It just ended up not being where we hit the ball very often, but it's supposed to speed things up, which is funny because I understand people's like gripe about this, like let play the ball down, blah, blah, blah. But like they also gripe about like slow play. And I know that some of that is our fault, but like, In this case, we're playing an impossible golf course that you have to mark every 3 footer anyways. Like this would really slow it down. So do we want it to be faster? I don't ever see a problem with Lift Clean and Place. I understand the purists of golf don't want it. Like that's totally fair. I've never felt a huge advantage with Lift Clean and Place. I mean, I had one shot this week that I felt like I got pretty, it was advantageous. I was in the fairway, but I would have been standing like near in the bunker. And because it was in the fairway, I got to move it. So I would say that like that probably saved me a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, but like, so I get it. But at the same time, it's like, from what I understand, it's just to speed us up, which is as an entertainment product, which is what I'm yelled at about that. I'm just an entertainer and this is an entertainment product. I don't get how Lift Clean and Place is less entertaining, especially if we weren't going to get mud balls anyways, because and oddly enough, on Sunday, you know, Rory had 17, he had one or said everyone always yells at said he had one. But like it's an entertainment product. You're not going to like we weren't going to see a lot of that anyway. So like how did it deter from your entertainment? Now, if your entertainment is bitching about everything possible, that's OK, because I want you to be entertained by the game of golf. But that does seem like it's part of the entertainment of golf now is finding anything that can make you mad. And then bitching about it on the internet, which again, listen, keep doing it. Cause as long as you do it, there's some like that makes golf fun. And this rules thing that's happened is fun. And like the Rory stuff and the Xander, like all this makes golf more fun. So I'm cool with it. But I like when I watch golf, I wouldn't even know people are doing it. Like it would never deter anything from my viewing experience. So like that was what was so funny about it. But yeah, I think I don't know, they just want it to fit in the window of the TV cover so we don't have to spill over into I mean, we don't get college basketball after golf, but if there were
the last you're gonna cut into the last 5 minutes. Yeah. You know, I think that we're living in a world now where it's fun to gripe about the PGA Tour, first of all, right? It's that seems to be the most popular take is any PGA Tour approach is something that's easy. It's like lowest hanging fruit. Like let's jump on this and complain about it. And I'm kind of going the other way. Like I feel like I lived in the everything frustrated me for a bit world for a while. And I'm trying because my job's changed and I'm watching a whole bunch of golf, like more than I've ever watched in my life. I mean, it also, by the way, I got a little, this is a preview for flights, but West Coast golf viewing on the East Coast is just amazing. It's just like on the after evening. It's great. You sound like it's snowing, you know, 6 feet, you can watch golf. But I'm trying to just enjoy golf right now. And I mean, which is so interesting because we have had a lot of issues so far this year in and around the game. But I'm really trying to watch it as a person that likes the game and enjoys watching golf. And so it's easy to get annoyed because Lift Clean and Place is in play on a perfect day in San Diego. I'm just trying not to let it get inside of me. You know, I'm trying not to let it bother me. And so it kind of goes back to the Reed thing. You know, I had a lot of a lot of ways I wanted to go with it. I think the Draymond Green comp is a pretty good one. You know, Draymond got that tech a couple of weeks ago against the Knicks because he was yelling at Wiseman, and he gets the second tech and gets kicked out of the game. You know, my point is Draymond Green's getting these techs because of his history in the league, not because he was yelling at somebody, right? I mean, that's why he's getting loose technicals over somebody like Clay or Steph, who don't tend to scream as much as Draymond does. I mean, Patrick Reed, and all this blew up because it's Patrick Reed way more than because of what actually happened, right? And this lift, clean, and place thing is similar. It's I don't want to sit around being frustrated at this. I just want to watch the game, you know, and I want to watch golf. And we, you know, I mean, you've been talking a lot about the mental approach. I downloaded a couple of the books you've talked about. I'm trying to look at life a little bit lighter right now, and because I've got a lot more in my life right now than maybe I did 2 years ago, and so I don't want to sit here and be pissed that you guys are playing Live Clean in Place. Like, yeah. I want to be upset about other stuff.
I try and from the books or whatever, I'm trying to less agree and disagree and more understand and then present my viewpoint. So if that's how you enjoy watching, like when I watch like my wife's really shitty reality shows, I yell at the TV the whole time. And that's just right. How I like to watch it, because it infuriates Same. Me and I let my, but I enjoy myself when I do that.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun it's to hate fun. Watch The Bachelor. Like, that's a fun part of watching The Bachelor.
Yeah,
it's a
hate watch. So maybe if that's how you want to watch golf, that's totally fine. My whole thing, though, is just like from my point of view, is the lift, clean, and placing is such a minute, small thing to the viewer that it's
for the casual viewer. That's the thing. To the majority of the viewer, right?
To me, that would piss you off to the point where you need to get on Twitter and like. Get a legion of people behind you to say, hey, how stupid is this tour? These guys are all soft. Now, again, whatever. I mean, life goes on for us. Like, it's all good. There's other, like the Patrick thing again, like of all the podcasts I've listened to, the things I've read, these people claim to be like, not claim to be, or like are kind of presented as like kind of golf experts in the media. And the first thing they went to is procedure. It's like, well, no, that's how it works. So like, you're kind of showing your hand here a little bit, like you're tipping your hand, I guess. You're showing that you actually aren't like as in the know. I mean, I heard Brandel said, you know, you pick the ball with two fingers. Like, okay, yeah, but like, I mean, like he had it in his palm. Like, it wasn't like insane what he did. It's not like he was put it in his pocket. It's not like he held it with two hands and covered it. Like, it's not insane what he did. I mean, like, so we're picking at things to get mad. And I understand that is sports. That is sports media. Like, that's the fun of a lot of this stuff. But when I watch golf, if it's pissing me off, I try to at least dissect, like, well, why does that even bother? Like, why would lift, clean, and place bother me? It's like, well, I get it. It's because we should be tested. There should be more chaos. There should be X, Y, and Z. But there is a lot of chaos. There is a lot of stuff. And this is just from what I've understood to move us along. Like I said, I maybe had a 1/100th of a shot advantage with where I got to move my ball on one out of the 3 days worth of lies I got. So I don't know. It's just, but it's just funny. I'm more bringing it up because it makes me kind of laugh when I go on. Right. Sometimes I'll finish my round of golf, be like, oh, that seemed like a nice benign tournament. And then I'll look online and be like, I can't believe it's such a player run tour. You guys are so coddled. And it's like, oh, are we what? Like, where did this come from? And then I see it. I'm like, oh my God, like, cause we got lift, clean, and place. Like, that's what we're all mad about. Like, I don't know how that like changed anyone's, you know.
Does it help? Is there, now I will ask you this. What player does lift, clean, and place help the most?
Well, I would say the person who hits the most fairways, it helps. Because if you're only
shorter and straighter?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it does help if you're around the greens, but there's not a ton of situations where you have a fairway lie where you get like a, you know, where you get to lift, clean, and place it for like a pitch. It happens occasionally. But like out there, it's Kikuyu. The ball sits way up. Like it was very rare. Like, I mean, I picked my ball up and clean it on one of them. And Joe's like, where are you going to move it? And I said, I actually just want to put it right back there. It's like, something it's sitting on the tee. So like, I don't know. It's, you can get a little angles here, but it's only a club length. I guess there's some weeks where it'd be better. I guess if you hit it in a divot in the middle of the fairway, it would be better. Like I made that joke on 18 on Sunday. I hit my third shot was from a divot, and I was like, man, of all the days, like, it would be nice to move. But
right.
Again, like, that's golf. That's the fun of it. And it wasn't a bad divot. So it was like, you know, No one would have known that I was in one unless I just said it. So like, again, like, I don't know how that would have affected the viewing experience. Most people wouldn't have even noticed, because it was like a, just kind of like an old divot. But like, you know, Tony said he was in an old divot on Sunday on 18, and that's why it was hard for him to get that 3-iron to the green. So there's an interesting one. So I guess maybe that added chaos, but is that how you want the tournament to come down to? Is like, I could look at it as, I wish he would have had a little bit more of like a clean shot at it, so I could see if he could stuff it in there and give, you know, Patrick something to look at if he makes eagle. So I don't know. It's just, it's just always funny when I walk out of the golf course and I see what is
like, it's so distanced in what you are thinking.
Which is good, because we should tailor to that. But the same way, I feel like there is some tailoring to what the fans like, and it's just never seems to make them happy. Like, nothing can make people. I mean, the stands on 18 this year are still back there. There's that wall. It is so far over the green. Like, you couldn't even get there in two. It was playing so long. And people are like, can you believe they still have the backs up there, even though there's no fans? It's like, they need to put the sponsor thing up there. Like, there's a camera tower up there. Like, we need something back there to make 18 look like 18. No one is hitting that wall. Like, it's not in play. And people are still mad about it. So it's just like, people are trying to tailor to the fan. And it's just the fan. And I think many sports, but especially it seems like in golf, keep moving the goalposts on what they think is fun to watch. And it just keeps, it's an impossible game to play. They're trying to do a lot of things. They're also trying, like I said, you know, in prior podcasts, we clearly have a disconnect with, we want the best player to win, and then the fans want the best viewing experience. And we're missing there, because we need to blend in to have the best viewing experience. But we, you know, as competitors, we all want the guy who deserved it to win that week, each and every week. So like, is because one guy got 3 mud balls and another got 0, and that guy now won by 1, does that prove that that guy's better that week? Like, I would say no. So like, we lean towards letting us do lift, clean, and place more often. So it's a more like democratic process of who wins. But again, fans want to see the ball curve off the planet into a bush. From the middle of the fairway, because it's funny and it's entertaining. It's like, that's, I get that point, but like, golf sports are to see who wins. That's why there's rules. And that's why there's like an out of bounds, like in basketball. That's why we check to see if his foot was on the 3-point line, because it matters. It's like, I've all cool chaos for entertainment, but like, maybe like we're trying to give a little back, like, you know, let's meet in the middle. Cause like, you know, I always talk to DJ Pai, who's like the best dude in the world, about all this. And he's like, he wants golf to have no yardages. You know, you have no idea where anything is. No pin sheets, no nothing. Straight up chaos. And it's like, dude, like, I'm with that. That's really fun. But like, that's insane for like, like you can't just have it be perfect for like just you. Like, I'm sure some people out there want to see like who can hit the best 7-iron. I mean, like, that's some people's opinion. But like, obviously Twitter crowd is louder, and DJ is being like pretty tongue in cheek with it. But like, yeah, that'd be hilarious to watch. But like, at what point then do you get bored of that? Then what do we go to? Like, I don't know. So it's a, like, I see the art in hitting a wedge shot that lands exactly on somebody's number, 2 hops and spins and goes in. So like, then I would say, all right, we need, you know, mics on the caddies or closer or more conversation. Cause you would hear us talk about that and then see, damn, that dude did exactly what he's doing. Or maybe he didn't, but he got lucky. Or maybe he didn't, and now he's screwed. Like, finding a balance to be more entertaining while also still letting us play to win a golf tournament. I mean,
yeah, it's the old Boatwright quote, right, about the USGA. And it said, you know, we're not trying to embarrass the best players in the world, or try to identify the best player in the world. It's like, you know, the US Open setup isn't always the most fun for the player, but the best player that week's going to win, and that player is going to really like the week.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Good week for you. You played a couple of good weeks. You said you didn't feel like you had your best stuff. We haven't even brought up one of my favorite points of the week, and I haven't got a full answer this yet, so I'm excited to hear. Max, you're a 7-wood guy now. Welcome to your 30s. And did we hit it?
Heavenwood. Yeah, we hit it 3 times, once out of the rough, once out of a fairway bunker, which did not go well. And once on a 6 on the par 5, I hit the green and 2 from the fairway. So it's a pretty good club. I think there's going to be like a back and forth with that in my 3-iron, just depending upon the course setup. But it's fun. I feel like I'm hitting like the face. You see so much face, it feels like you're hitting like a pitching wedge. So it feels quite easy to hit.
Will it be in the bag at Waste Management, or is it back to the iron?
I got to go see today and tomorrow, but I think it'll be in the bag. I went through the round and I can only remember hitting the 3-iron off the tee on number 1 So I could easily kind of get around that.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't think I hit an iron off of any other tee box, and it would help coming into, I mean, shoot, last year, if I, you know, have a 7 wood on 15, I have a, I think a lot better chance to stop that ball, close to the hole and, you know, maybe, you know,
cause you ripped three iron, right?
Yeah. And I pulled it long left. Cause I had to hit it really high and get a lot of spin on it. And I think I overswung. So, I think it'll probably be in the bag, but we'll go see. Do you have any flights? I got a few flights.
Yeah, I do. I do. I have,
what you got, Shane?
Let me see here. Real quick. Have you been out to TPC Scottsdale? Have you been out there yet?
Yeah.
Or you been out today?
I went there a month ago, Taylor Gooch has his like little golf tournament he puts on.
That's right.
It's very small, but we went and played and it's in good shape. The stands are a bit odd. 16 still fully enclosed, but it doesn't have like as many seats. It's going to be like all mostly corporate. There's, I think, one stand on 18, if I remember right, maybe two, but like the rest of the golf course is pretty much empty. It looks like it normally does. So it's odd. But it'll be good. I guess we're going to have some fans, which is awesome. We miss that. It's not nearly as fun playing without fans. So it'll be cool. But yeah, golf course should be good. I mean, I don't know how firm they can make it, but it's typically a pretty good firm test. I know the scores are quite low, but at least you get to see the ball bounce, which is nice.
A real quick update on Aon Risk Reward Challenge. We haven't talked about it this year, buddy. It's back and you made a big move. Whole Lot Eagle helped your cause. I think you jumped like 30 spots. You are firmly T27 in good company. You're tied with Colin Morikawa and Tony Finau. Everybody chasing Louis Oosthuizen, by the way, one of your favorite playing partners throughout the year. So that's your Aon Risk Reward update, T27. And you know what? 17th hole this week. Maybe just knock it in for one on one day and then make it two the next.
That sounds lovely. I would love to do that. Shane, I have a dumb idea. This is pretty dumb. Tim Mickelson, Phil Mickelson's brother, just had a baby, and I wish they should have named him Will, so that it could be Will and Uncle Phil.
That's pretty good. I like that. Will and Phil. They didn't go with that though. I can't remember what the name was, but not that. That's pretty good. I have a bad idea sent in from producer Tim.
Wait, this is a dumb idea, not bad idea.
Well, okay. This is, I'll say dumb idea. I wrote down bad idea.
Oh God.
Here we go. He said, here it is. A bachelor like ceremony for Monday qualifiers or Q school guys or Corn Ferry guys, a random every week that doesn't already qualify by winning gets into an event. The players have to create a social media video like they do on The Bachelor, and the fans get to choose who gets in. Yay or nay on this idea.
I mean, that's the biggest nay in the history of nays. But I mean, I like the creativity. We could workshop
there. You go.
So that, maybe that if was there's a playoff, then you do the video.
I did get. I told you this last night. We were going to record yesterday, and ended up pushing it. I said I got my best thing I heard this week came from a listener named Jordan Jones. And he ordered some tees. You know, we got a lot of people ordering the tees. Appreciate you guys posting the pictures. We've been posting them on our Get a Grip Instagram account. He said, just tried to explain steak walks to my wife because I got the tees and she thought it meant steak babies, which I guess you could get that confused. And he just said, I wish you could have seen the look she gave me because trying to explain steak walks to somebody that doesn't listen to this podcast, I've run into this issue. It's a little tough. It's not something that just rolls off. So, shout out to one of our listeners who was trying to battle the explain to your wife a golf thing, which occasionally gets you into a very weird place.
Almost always. I have a feel good Friday. Ron Rivera, Cal Bear, is cancer free. He announced that this past week. I think that was a cool thing to hear. He seems like stand up guy, obviously a beloved coach. So it's good to hear that he is making his way back to fully healthy. So that was good to hear.
You got a new sponsor? What do you got going now? I saw you reposting something on your Instagram.
Yeah, X Golf. They do like indoor golf stuff. So I'm gonna do a partnership with them. It's more like I do a couple outings and they won't be on my gear or anything.
Gotcha. Can you see if they'll build an indoor simulator in my new house in Connecticut? Because it's pretty snowy.
I will ask for you, Shane. I have one more flight. I got the best shot I saw someone hit, but it comes with a bit of a story. Let's go. Keith and Steve Stricker, first 2 days. Steve's obviously a legend. Keith is working his way to be a legend. They're both on 7 on Thursday. Hit it left of the green. We're almost done the round. Keith is not having a good day. Steve is battling. Left is terrible. It's short-sided, uphill, slope in front of you. It's not a good spot. Steve goes first, tries to bump it into the hill. Too soft. Rolls back down the hill. He has basically the same shot. He's a little bit closer than Keith now. So Keith goes. Keith, seeing this, goes with kind of the spinning, like, you know, higher one. And he clips it really nice. Lands just barely on the green. Scotty didn't like that. Lands just barely on the green. Spins and then checks and releases about to 15 feet. Pretty good shot. He comes over to us and goes, man, like, that's about as much as I could spin it. And I'm like, yeah, you hit that thing pretty nice, Keith. Well, right as that's happening, Steve hits his shot, and this time Steve decides to go with the high spinning shot. It lands just about where Keith did and stops about 2 inches from the hole. He spun the life out of the golf ball, and it was just so perfect. After Keith goes, that's about as good as I can do. And it was very important to note that Steve was 14 feet better than Keith was spinning the golf ball. And Keith walking up the next tee or next hole after his tee shot, he walks up, he goes, I'm still thinking about that shot.
never leave my brain. I was gonna say, I mean, you get a chance to play with, you're playing with Stricker, and you go out there and fire a dirty number. How is it playing with Stricker, because his game is so different now than kind of the modern player, but he still gets it around, he's still so dirty. How is it playing with, like, when you play with a guy that's in his 50s that, you know, doesn't have the distance that the PGA Tour guys have now, yet still can do it? How impressive is it when you watch it, like, through 18 holes?
Yeah, he just buttons it. So there's a difference between people who hit it short and people who hit it short, like shorter, like he does. But he hit a couple that got out there plenty far. But yeah, in general, it's a little shorter. But I mean, he just hits it out of the middle so often. Obviously, a place like that, he needs to be in the fairway. But if you're in the fairway out there, you're already at an advantage. I don't care if someone's up in front of you in the rough. But he just does such a good job of hitting it solid. And he's obviously a phenomenal putter. His wedge play is amazing. His short game was great. I mean, he made certain chips like that one look very easy. And he did it again on the North course when he's grinding to make the cut. He made two chips look so easy. I don't know. It's just like it's always, you learn, I feel like you learn a lot more from someone like, with the golf game, like a Steve Stricker, than you would someone like a Dustin Johnson, because, Steve has to play a slightly different game. And there's more to, I think, take from it. So it's always fun to play with someone like Steve, who's made tons of money and tons of cuts and won a bunch and clearly knows how to get the ball in the hole, despite not having like immense power off the tee. But he repeats. I think that's the cool part. What he does, he just keeps doing it. He's going to beat you to death with it. Especially on a course like that's a hard golf course to make the cut at if you don't hit it far, you know. Again, it helps hit fairways, but you still got to hit the fairways. And he did that great job. It's very fun playing with someone like Steve Stricker. It's an honor, and it's something you try to take what you can from the experience.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
My Feel Good Friday is we raised money from the golf tees we sold, and we raised a lot of money for a charity in Arizona called the Singletons. It supports single parent families dealing with cancer. Our hope with that support there is that, you know, we're hoping we can help some people out and get them back out cancer free and get them back out stake walking, you know, once they're cancer free. That's thanks, the idea guys. There. So thanks everybody for supporting that. A reminder, we have t-shirts and hats at imperialsports.com. You can check out our gear there. Where are you at headwise? Just with how you've been dealing with everything in terms of approach to the game and how, where are you at confidence wise headed into this week?
Yeah, it's good. I feel confident. Like I said, I'm hitting my irons really, really well. And I feel like, you know, just got to get a couple putts to fall and drive it just maybe a little better, but, I feel comfortable at this golf course. I would say this one suits me probably, you know, I guess here in Riviera, I feel like I see the best. Torrey, I like a lot too, but this in Riviera, I like see the golf course really well. Especially off the tee. So, I mean, you know, hopefully a good week. I played well here in the last couple of years, but yeah, the game just feels good. So it's, feels like I just keep kind of repeating what I'm doing over and over again. And it's been just getting more and more solid. I feel a little more like I did in college, where like, I didn't feel like I needed to be so perfect, which frees me up then to just be myself, which I think is what mostly everybody out here kind of does. You want to know that you don't have to be the best in the world to be the best in the world, if that makes sense. You don't have to be firing on all cylinders. So I feel like that, but I feel like it's fun watching my irons and my wedges be like this. Cause it's, this past week was pretty special with the irons, and it's fun to just be able to paint picture in your head and then just repeat it. So I look forward to playing golf nowadays, and I got coaches, Blackburn's out here this week. So going to go see him today. I'm excited to play the pro-am tomorrow. And see what the atmosphere is like. Cause you know, this is the best event of the year, and unfortunately it's not going to be quite as crazy, but hopefully we get a little bit of normalcy back. But yeah, so it should be good. Shane, what do you got this week? You gotta start, coming up with some clever ways to, explain, how 16 at Waste Management tends to go for just, the fans.
Yeah. It's, you know what? We have audio queued up. Remember last year on this podcast, you said the worst you could ever make is a 4, and then you go, now next year I'm going to make a 5 there. That was one of my favorite things. It'll be a little different now, though, obviously, without the fans. I feel like the shot will feel a little less nervy. You were 8th in the field this past week in strokes gained approach to the green, 3rd in the field in strokes gained around the green. That's good stuff. That's top 10 of both those is pretty impressive. I've enjoyed watching it. I mean, I like when you play well, but, you know, like you said, it seems like you're kind of going out there and the rounds all feel and look simple for you, you know, which is especially at a place like Torrey. I mean, that's not the easiest thing to do. So it's nice. You know, you kind of had your dinner on the north, and then you kind of rock and roll after that. So dude, I'm not going to be out there following you this year, though. I mean, you had me for like 36 holes over the weekend.
You're not going to get arrested this year.
I won't get yelled at. Yeah. We're year anniversary of almost getting arrested for Dasani. Dasani arrest for getting lacy water.
Imagine if you tried to steal a Fiji, how fast you'd have been in jail.
I would still be in jail. Are you kidding me? I'd be doing this podcast from prison for sure. Well, hey, have a good week. I'm jealous of everybody that's going to be out at Waste Management. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year in all of golf too. I love being there, but I'm excited I'll get to chat about it. Dude, I was thinking about this. I've been going to the Waste Management pretty much every year since like 2003. You know, I mean, I think I went up there my second year of college. I think basically from that point forward, I might have missed 1 or 2 years. But I mean, I'm there a lot, you know. I mean, obviously down the street from it, but like you said, it's the coolest golf event to see in person, I think.
It's rad. And I got my all in challenge people here, that bought the charity event, that Michael Rubio, I think Michael Rubin put on. So they're out here. We played golf yesterday, and, they're going to get to go to the course for 5 days. Yeah. One guy made a 6 iron. That's probably the best shot I saw this week. Is one guy, John made a 6 iron from, Dan had 232 in. He's the host. He like basically lifted out from 232. This is the hardest hole at the golf course, number one handicap. I went next from 200.
Where were you at?
Whisprock. Went next and hit a 6 iron. And I mean, I hit it to 2.5 feet. It must have burned the high side. And then John gets up there, and Alice in the air, caddy Nick said it's in. And it fucking went in for 2. It was unbelievable. He did make probably like a 12 the next hole. Not a good backup. But he didn't, as our caddy said, he didn't validate. I think he actually made probably like a 7. But but it was fun. But I'm glad they're out here getting to do, you know, what they were almost fully promised to do. Yeah. Not quite a VIP experience, but just close.
All right. Before we go, I want your Super Bowl pick real quick. Super Bowl pick. Who are you going?
You're
gonna watch. Stop this. You're still
no, gonna no, watch. No. I'm not talking about. I was gonna say I want to take the. I mean, I don't know what you're getting at. I said I want to take
about the Packers.
No, I said I want to take the Chiefs. I was getting bummed that I'm tired of watching Tom Brady. Like I just don't. I respect him. He's amazing. Blah blah blah. I'm just sick of watching it. I'm like watching a rerun every year. Like I'm over it. So I want to pick the Chiefs, but like. It's just like at this point, it's like Tom will probably win. I know.
I'm with you. I kind of like the Bucks as well.
It's annoying, Shane. As an old guy like you must really appreciate it.
You know what the good news is? I'm not even as old as Tom Brady. You know, that's the good news is I can still look up. Hey, I I have entered the time in your in place. You'll get there in a few years where all the pro athletes you watch are way younger than you, but at least I still got one I'm looking at. I got a few more years until we get there. Who knows? He still might be playing. Have a great week, bro. I'm excited to watch. I've been loving the way you've been playing lately, and more than anything, just loving the attitude. The attitude's great, and I mean that's what you're looking for. And we're gonna do. I think we're gonna do a book club on this McConaughey book on this podcast. Is that kind of what you're thinking? Because you did the audio version, and I'm gonna read it. I'm about to start it. And I think what we'll do is on a down week when Max isn't playing, we're gonna ask you all to read it as well. Send in some points, questions, and all that, and we'll dive into it for half an hour. And that'll be our little book club segment we'll roll out every now and again. So that's just a thought. We're not exactly sure if we're going to execute it. It's kind of how this podcast works, but we'll see. We'll see. Everybody have a great week. Root Max on. Hey, do you know who you're playing with yet? And if you haven't, have you made a call yet? You want to make a call here? Your guest? Who you're playing with?
I don't want to call it here because I feel like I'm going to change it. Now that I know that we do this, I need to put some research into it. Next week I'll be more prepared to
next week
we'll do it. Next week I need to go see who's at the tournament today and feel it.
You know what? I have for some reason have an Andrew Landry feeling. Is he in the field this week? I could see Max and Landry.
I think Nate Lashley might be one of them. He's high on my list, but I gotta feel out the second one. I gotta do a little diving, you know. I gotta get in the PGA Tour lengths and start to figure out who's playing this thing, who I could get paired with.
Aeon risk reward, just a reminder, 17, Max. 17. You know what? You should just try to play that hole well. That's kind of so that's
one, the two. That's how I'll play it.
I love it. I love it. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Have a great week. Before I forget, shout out to FootJoy. I'm wearing like a special cocktail collection. They asked me my favorite drink. So on Saturday, I'm wearing a tequila sunrise.
Nice. So
hope you guys like it.
You have it all. Do you have it already?
I just got it. I got to take it out of the box. So I'm excited. I'll try to post a picture of it, but appreciate listening. Appreciate you guys buying the teas. Wash your hands and enjoy, hopefully, the most fun event of the year. See you guys.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.